Welcome, everyone. My name is Eric Jorgensen. For those of you who don't know me, I'm the founder of Special Needs Navigator. I started Special Needs Navigator to help families navigate the maze of benefits, resources, and services. And today I have with me Mark Rose, Vice President of Continuum Autism Spectrum Alliance, a service that I believe many of you out there will find just as useful and just as helpful as I do. I'm going to allow Mark to give a little bit more of his personal background. He comes into the autism world a little indirectly. He was a home builder for 20 years before joining Continuum. And since then, he's been helping Continuum by building their presence outside of the DC metro area into the expanding states that they're in now. So with that introduction, I'm going to turn it over to Mark Rose and let him give a little bit more personal background about himself. And just take it away, Mark.
Hi, everyone. I'm Mark Rose. I'm with Continuum Behavioral Health. We started out as Continuum Autism Spectrum Alliance. I am one of the chosen few who was lucky enough to first work for my father, as Eric said, 20 years as a home builder. I was second generation. We were home builder land developers in Maryland, Virginia, and Delaware. And after the passing of my father, really kind of took a look at what I was doing and what I wanted to be. And I was lucky enough to get married, had four children, and fell in love with this family. And at that time, they had a pediatric nursing company. So basically, they work with hiring and training nurses in, I think it's seven different states today, for medically fragile children. So I joined his firm. So like I said, I was lucky enough to work for my father first, and then my father-in-law. So I was working for the nursing company. And when I was working for the nursing company, we were trying to figure out what else we could do for families in need. And this word autism kept coming up at the time. One of my best friends who lived in Florida, who has two boys on the spectrum, you know, I didn't know a lot about autism, but I knew a little bit to be dangerous, just knowing it was a different life. They weren't going to the movies. They weren't going out to dinner. They weren't doing, you know, the typical normal things that families do. So I started doing research on ABA and came across this word or this acronym BCBA. It's a board certified behavior analyst. And if we wanted to get into this world and if we wanted to provide services for those with autism or those with special needs, we determined at that time that having a BCBA was important. And at that time, just another quick 30 seconds, I met a young lady named Jamie Bassos, who was a BCBA at the time. And she worked for another company and she wanted to start her own division. She wanted to start her own company. And what a perfect match. We were looking to add this. So we met Jamie and we really never looked back. We just matched on so many different levels. We had no clients. We had a passion for this. We wanted to help as many families as possible. We had the backing of a company, which was wonderful. So we already had the infrastructure set. We just had to find the clients and provide good services. So that's kind of how I stumbled into this world. And here we are 9 years later and in 11 states and still growing.
I want to say, Mark, I have the core values for you guys up here. And the, what, 5-6 years I've known you, I think you and everybody else I've met from your company really espouses those. Some of the favorites I like are the collaboration and best practices. I mean, that's not to say the other three aren't good, but the ones that speak to me in today's environment are leadership and best practice using science-based, not opinions.
I want to tell you about collaboration. So when I first met Jamie Bassos, again, here she is working for another ABA company, and she sat down with us. She met with me. She met with the president. She met with the vice president, all of us together. And she said, I like what you're all about. I love the passion that you have, but I got to tell you, if I'm going to join this firm and we're going to create an ABA company, most important is collaboration. I said, okay, what do you mean by collaborate? I mean, I understand what collaboration is, but please explain. She said, it's very common in the ABA world for a BCBA to feel alone, like on a deserted island, because not all BCBAs work well with a 20-year-old who's 250 pounds and can really, you know, put a nice whipping on you. Not all are very good with little 2-year-old babies. So, you know, you want to be able to pick up the phone if for some reason your forte is working with the little babies and you're working with a teenager that you really can't control. You want to pick up the phone and call your other BCBA and say, hey, I've got this teenager. Can you give me some tips on what works well for you? That's number one. Number two, also, it seemed very clear to us that it's important for us to work with all of the other groups or individuals that have been working with this child or this adolescent in their history. So, you know, a lot of them were working with other ABA firms, or they were working with speech language pathologists. They were working with occupational therapists. They were going to special needs schools. So the first thing we would do is we would reach out to each one of those groups and say, tell us what's going on. What are you working on? Can we work on these common goals? If we're all working on the common goals, it's the best for the child or the adolescent or the adult. And so many companies, this was 9 years ago, you know, companies have come a long, long way, but so many were not doing that. They were coming up with their own goals and ideas of what they had for this child, not sharing them with anyone else. And sometimes, you know, they would take large steps back. And that's why sometimes, you know, parents would say, why are we not getting what we need out of this? We're not getting what we thought ABA was. And a big part of it's collaboration. And then, you know, you talked about best practices. You talk about leadership. Leadership, you know, we have such a fun, great leadership group. I think our best policy is really listening to every employee. Everyone has a voice in Continuum. We're not a company, we're a family. So when we bring someone on board, we want them to be heard, because I know the best thing I can do is surround myself with all the talented people. I have the least amount of talent on this entire group, but I've connected and I've surrounded myself with such a group of talented people. They make me look good.
That's awesome. It's probably a good place to segue into what ABA is and what it's not. Before we started recording, I mentioned that I've seen on some Facebook forums and I've heard from some individuals on the spectrum that are adults now that they felt that applied behavioral therapy, they felt that they were trying to change who they are as a person. And so I'd like you to address what Continuum views ABA as. I know you can't speak for all the industry and I'm not going to ask you to, but with regards to Continuum and how you guys approach ABA?
Well, again, ABA, applied behavior analysis, it's science based on learning and behaviors. So our goal is to try to figure out why someone is having certain behaviors. And if we can replace specific behaviors that a parent might not want to see with better or good behaviors, that's really a big goal for us.
So let's pause there, because I think that was the key right there, what you just said. Behaviors that a parent may not want to see or may want to replace. Not society as a whole. We're not saying we want you to change this behavior to fit in with what we think normal is. It's a parent is seeing something that's perhaps self-destructive or self-injurious, and they want to change that behavior.
That's true. You said the word normal. Honestly, abnormal is the new normal. I mean, I truly believe that, because every one of us have something. We just do. And a lot of us have learned, if you're in the autism world or in the ABA world, we can easily say, oh my goodness, you know, I think I am somewhere on that spectrum, or I know I have ADHD, or I know I have some type of learning differences, and that's why I struggled with. And then you can input whatever you want with school or relationships or getting friends. You know, it's just, we all have something. There is no normal anymore. So our goal is to try to provide a service for a family in need. And we will put a plan in place together for them. However, we will always say, okay, we believe we know what's going on, and we believe we can take certain steps to help you and alleviate the issues that are happening. But please tell us what's going on with you. I've had more families that we've put a plan in place and we say, okay, we know there's communication issues and there's definitely behaviors. And the parents will quickly reply and say, I understand my child has behaviors and I understand they cannot communicate. But if we could just get them potty trained, I can get them in school. I can get them in camp. We can go to the mall. We can do all these different things. So really, It's a lot of listening. ABA is therapy. So it's a lot of listening. It's, you know, it's being passionate about it. It's listening to what the parents' wants and needs are. And then obviously another big pink elephant in the room is really working with the parents on how to pay for it. And luckily, a lot of insurance companies do cover services. Sometimes they have a copay. Sometimes they have to meet a deductible. But again, really working with them on how much is it going to cost them.
Before I circle back to how to pay for it, I will say it's never just potty training. You know, that's a big deal. I mean, I'm trying to think when we finally able to transition my son from pull-ups to the bathroom, and it was a while. I mean, it just increases freedom for him and for the family. And, you know, I think another way, to your point about the communication and listening, that may be a great way to screen when you're interviewing ABAs. If you're not in one of the 11 states that Continuum's in, or even if you're interviewing in Continuum ABA or BCBA, because as you pointed out, not all BCBAs are created equal. If they're not listening, that's probably a good indicator they're not going to be a good fit for you. If they come in with an agenda, they may not be what you're looking for, right? I mean, speaking for myself, when I've done like physical therapy or my son goes to music therapy, I get nervous before I've even had a chance to share what's going on. If somebody says, well, this is what we're going to do.
Yeah. You know, no two kids are alike. Every child is different. Every adolescent is different. Every adult is different. So you have to get the full story before you can put together a plan. And, you know, you get the full story, you put your plan in place, and then you defer back to the parents and say, help me help you. What would make your life so much easier? Is it helping your child eat more foods? You know, a lot of our kids, they eat 1, 2, 3, 4 foods unhealthy. If we can work with them, that would be great. Sleeping's an issue. Communication, that's why we see a lot of behaviors, because parents are unable to communicate with their child. We have to figure out how to communicate with them. They're trying to communicate with us the way they know. We have to figure out what that communication style is. And once we do, we will see the behaviors completely change.
I remember, I think it was a podcast I was listening to where somebody shared with me, it wasn't that the child was unwilling to talk, but it was when you required them to make eye contact and talk at the same time, it was very overwhelming for the child, just too much stimulus. When they could figure that out and they didn't mind so much if the child would look away to have the conversation, then just understood. Well, and I would think with, your BCBA could teach the child, communicate, hey, I'm not being rude, or just preface it. You know what I mean? Like, instead of trying to say, no, you have to learn how to make eye contact, to your point earlier about there's no normal anymore.
Right.
I don't think it's unreasonable to tell somebody, I'm not being rude, but I'm just uncomfortable making eye contact.
Absolutely. And we want to teach them, it's okay to say that. I have trouble looking at you or having that eye contact. That's okay. It's okay. It's acceptable. It's fine. We all learn differently. So again, we have to figure out what is the best way that this child learns. And we have to go to their level, wherever that level is. Sometimes it's very high. Sometimes it's much higher than the parents, their level of learning. And it's very difficult for parents. Sometimes it's much lower. So it's one thing is constant with all of our families. One thing we will always do, we will always provide training for mom and dad, because at the end of the day, parents don't want us in their living rooms, whether we're sitting there physically in their living rooms or if we're online via Zoom or FaceTime, with our telehealth division. We really are trying to work our way out of a job. That's our goal. If we can work our way out of a job, we have succeeded with this client. Now, some of them, we work our way out of a job and maybe we would check in monthly and just say, hey, how are things going? And sometimes some tweaking would need to happen, monthly, bi-monthly, something like that. But again, if we work our way out of a job, then we're successful.
And I love that. And I think the other piece to that is managing parents' expectations sometimes. I think sometimes being a parent, I'm guilty of this, but I think we may place unreasonable expectations on ourselves and on our children. Like, we're judging ourselves as parents if our kids aren't doing certain milestones, right? And by the same token, we're holding that child to an unreasonable expectation if they're just not readily or physically capable or what have you. But maybe there's a way to adapt it. And it sounds like when you're training parents, you're teaching them that, right?
We are actually got to take a step back further from the beginning. So 18 months, 2 years is really not too early for you to realize that something's going on. And we find a lot of parents will be reaching out to their pediatrician, will be reaching out to us and saying, something's going on. I can't put my finger on it. You know, they're not really looking at me. I'm talking to them and they just don't seem to be responding. They're playing with their sibling or their friend who's the same age and they're just acting differently. What's going on? So, you know, the first and toughest milestone for parents is that acceptance, to really accept that, okay, something's going on. What is going on? Our goal is really to find out what is happening. Is it autism? Is it not autism? Is it just, you know, a delay? It could be anything. You know, many parents don't want to have that word autism associated with their child. And I think differently because autism services are covered by insurance, which means you don't have to come out of pocket. So no, I know you don't want your child to be diagnosed with autism. However, if they are diagnosed with autism, all of a sudden we can start providing services for you that will be very beneficial for you. And you're coming out of pocket for a very small amount, as opposed to if they don't have that diagnosis, you're going from service to service and paying tens of thousands of dollars. And it's tough. And who can afford that today? So it's the acceptance. It's working with the families. It's understanding what's important to the parents. And again, did I answer your question?
You did, Mark, you did. The one thing I want to highlight is something you didn't say in there. And I think it's important that people hear it. You didn't say you were going to fix the children. You didn't say you were going to change the way they behave. You said you're going to help them and you're going to help the parents. But I mean, that doesn't mean fixing them. You know, my son stims.
They're not broken.
Right, exactly.
These kids are not broken.
Exactly.
These kids, we need to figure out how to communicate with them. We need to figure out not changing their behaviors, introducing new behaviors, reducing those other behaviors that kind of drive mom and dad a little crazy sometimes, but introducing newer behaviors. And a lot of time that's with the communication skills that we introduce between them and their kids.
For me as a parent over the years, it's been, well, how important is it that I address this particular thing? And how much of it's just, look, this is who he is. I've got to accept him for who he is. For a while, he had a tick that I was concerned about. And that's how we discovered he had Tourette's. But I probably could have taken him in earlier, but it wasn't that significant yet. So I just kind of took it off as another maybe behavior or something. And then it progressed into something where I thought, okay, this is significant enough. I need to go see a neurologist for. I mean, that's a really kind of down a rabbit hole story. But I mean, I think it's important that parents realize we're really not trying to highlight BCBA as being a solution to everything and saying your kid is going to be a perfect functioning simulacrum of you. They're going to look just like you. They're going to act just like you. No, that's not what we're trying to accomplish, right?
That's no different than a football player. He's a quarterback. He's a Super Bowl winner. And he has a son who has to, in his mind, you know, live up to his dad's shoes and fill those shoes. That doesn't happen. Excuse me. Peyton Manning, the Manning family may be the one. I mean, there's very few. But honestly, what's the difference? You know, my dad was a super successful home builder and land developer. It just wasn't for me. You know, healthcare was really my calling. So some apples don't fall far from the tree, but you know, you hit it right on the head, Eric. You said it perfectly.
I think that's a great way to wind down our conversation and dive into where we can find Continuum right now. I have it up here. I'll put it in the show notes. And you guys are continuing to expand, correct?
We are. It's funny, as I noted, almost 30 years ago, we started as a pediatric nursing company, which is headquartered out of McLean, Virginia. So it was easy for us to obviously join them in the headquarters in Virginia. And if you know anything about the Washington metropolitan area, Northern Virginia, Maryland, D.C., almost thought of as one state. So when we opened up our doors, we were instantly opened up for services in Maryland, Virginia, and D.C. And as we add states, the easiest way for us to add a new state was to join our nursing company that already existed in Colorado, already existed in Illinois, already existed in Pennsylvania. So we would join them in their brick and mortar building. And that's one way that's been easy for us to expand. Also, a few other ways that we've expanded: New Jersey, our second BCBA that we hired, Christine Kroll, was from South Jersey. Now, if you know anything about South Jersey, there are no ABA companies in South Jersey. We love Christine. She was with us for 2 or 3 years. And she said, Mark, I really want to move back to South Jersey. Have you ever thought about offering services in Jersey? I said, no, let's look at what that would look like. So obviously we did the research and said, let's do it. So we loved her. You know, we follow our people. We follow our nursing office. We follow our talent. And then we've been lucky enough to find a few other wonderful BCBAs in other states that wanted to join our group. And that's enabled us to open up in other states. So, you know, 11 states: Colorado, DC, Delaware, Florida, Kansas, Maryland, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, Illinois, Tennessee, Utah, and Virginia.
So if somebody was to own maybe they're a sole practitioner BCBA in Massachusetts or New York or Connecticut or something, and they reached out and said, hey, Mark, I've got this on my own, but I just don't have the bandwidth to continue chasing insurance companies. That needs to be its own. You know, you really need a department alone to do that. Is there any way I can talk to you about maybe hooking up with Continuum? Is that something that you would entertain, at least having a conversation around?
Yes, Eric, we know how difficult it is for a new BCBA to start his or her own company. And if you just had to provide the quality services to the families, that would be enough. However, when you're running a business, you have to worry about the insurances, you have to worry about answering the phones, you have to worry about so many other things that go into this. So it's very common that BCBAs, owners of other companies, reach out to us and say, okay, I've been doing this for several years. I realize I'm not making any money. I'm working 18-hour days. Maybe I should just come and join you. What would that look like? And then we would show them, we believe it's important to have a social life, you know, a home life, and a work life. So important. If you talk to any of our clinical directors, talk to any of our BCBAs, anyone looking to come on board, I always give them names. I say, talk to them, ask them. And time and time again, they'll say it's unbelievable how we understand how important that home life is, because burnout is a real thing. And if you're working an incredible amount of hours every single day, 5, 6, 7 days a week, it's just not healthy. You know, you're going to be doing this for years and years and years. And our goal is to, you know, we want to be around for many years. We want to keep providing services to all these families. And that's one way to do it.
That's awesome, Mark. And so last thoughts, if people take nothing else away from this conversation that we had today, I mean, I certainly hope they will. But if they don't, what would you like them to walk away from this interview with if you just had one last thought?
I just want them to know that we started this business, this service, because we want to help those so many families in need. So if you're a family in need and you don't really know what's going on, you know, our doors are always open. And if we can't figure out, you know, if we're not the answer key, we're smart enough to know many other practitioners like Eric that we can send you to help you for whatever it is. It could be managing the money. It could be, you know, speech. It could be occupational therapy. It could be whatever it is. So that's the most important thought that I want everyone to take away. And just because we're in 11 states doesn't mean that we're not worldwide because of our telehealth services. We were lucky enough to open up telehealth services through Meredith Kiminer, who was our director 3 years ago. And who knew that Corona would hit the way it did, and so many families would need those services today. In fact, we reached out to so many of those insurance companies and said, listen, our clients don't want us in the homes. And in fact, we don't want to be in their homes. It's too scary right now. Can you please add telehealth on the ABA for services that's covered? And sure enough, several of the insurance companies have done that. And hopefully that's going to stay with it. So we can come and find you wherever you are.
That's awesome. And thank you, Mark. I had forgotten that when we spoke before the interview, you had told me about telehealth. And that's really important. I think that's going to play a big, big part going forward post-COVID. I have the generic contact email up here. Is that still good?
Yes, that's good.
Okay. And now I know I have a course up here that, you know, by the time this comes out, we're recording this in September. I know June is come and gone. I only have it up here to show an example of the types of other things that you guys do.
Right. So we're updating those telehealth services monthly. All different types of services, a lot of social skills groups. So the social skills groups for us have really taken off around the country. So it's on our website. You can see the flyer, and every other month there are new skills groups and lots of different ages as well. So it's not just for the 13, 14, 15 year olds. I think we go as young as 8 or 9 now, and we go up to the mid 20s now. So that keeps expanding with, you know, the need.
That's awesome. Mark, thank you so much for making the time to talk with us today. I've been taking notes. That's why you'd see me duck down, because I have a lot of notes that I want to make sure I capture in our show notes that'll be in the description of the YouTube channel.
Right.
But again, thank you, Mark. Thank you very much for coming in and sharing about ABA and Continuum with us.
Thanks for having me, Eric. I appreciate it. Anytime.
Thank you for listening to the ABCs of Disability Planning podcast. We invite your feedback and comments. Please feel free to leave a review wherever you are listening, and don't forget to hit like, follow, and subscribe so you don't miss an episode. For more information, please visit us at www.specialneedsnavigator.us.